Welcome to part two of podcast number 188, Auction Napa Valley 2016 Barrel Auction.
We take what we do seriously.
Sometimes.
We're lucky to be in a fun business where we get to eat and drink, but you have to take making the wine seriously. So
I'm here with Rich Frank and Leslie Frank. How are you both doing?
We're doing great. Fun day.
Amazing. Great food, and a great group of people.
Do you have a barrel here today?
Yes. On the other side of these tanks.
So you're just kind of out checking out the competition right now.
It's an easy way to check out the competition, right? Actually, we go around, we find it's a great place to buy wine to put in our cellar to drink during the year.
There's some good deals to be had here.
There's some good deals, but there's good
not
bidding going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bidding. It's terrific. And it's not as noisy as the old days when they used to shove in the sides of the wooden and make it fall into a can.
That's right. We'd be standing here talking, and then you'd turn around and go, what the hell was that? Yeah.
Like somebody's shooting at you.
Bottom line is, you're benefiting so many different charities here in the Valley. Could you talk about it? Just name a couple of the charities.
It's healthcare, education, goes to our farm workers, which are such an integral part of our community. We couldn't do what we do without them. So it's a great opportunity for the community to come together. And this is the time of year where you really see Napa and the wineries come together. People, it's funny, we live in this small community, you know, Napa Valley, 30 miles long, 5 miles wide. But this is the time of year we run into people that we haven't seen since the last auction. So it really brings the community together, but you can walk away from this weekend feeling good about yourself, that you've done something for the community that is so important to us and what we do here.
And best of all, your bidders walk away with some darn fine wine at
a
good deal.
There's the win-win situation. A bidder gets it. Winemakers are bidding on other people's wines. But all the money, 100% of it, goes to the local charities. It's great.
Well, my compliments to you. You guys have done a great job. And
thank
again,
you.
Great evening last night tasting. For our listeners to come visit or to learn about Frank Family Vineyards online, how would they do that?
Just go to frankfamilyvineyards.com and we're
there. Check out our website. We're there. The wines are there. We're in Calistoga. We're the third oldest winery in Napa Valley. Historic building. And we guarantee a good time at Frank Family Vineyards. We guarantee quality wines and a great wine tasting experience.
And you can attest to how beautiful the landscaping is and the old building. It's just great to be in.
It's a very nice people.
Great.
Thank you both very much
for
taking the time.
Thank you.
Take care.
Sure. It's that time of barrel auction once again. To come up with my very good friend, who shall remain anonymous because he makes fun of me every time he says, or I says, his name.
I says is a really great form in English. Your language is amazing.
I learned everything I know from you.
No problem, Mr. Feister.
Okay, Mr. Hoflickler.
Well, that's about right.
I've tried really hard all these years, so the hell with you, pal.
Well, maybe if I get you really drunk, you'll be able to get it, you know?
I don't drink that often, so how are you doing?
Good. I think it's a great venue. Honestly, last time, as you know, was 2009, and I think it's really a venue where people can have a lot of space, not only to taste the wines, but to enjoy the day, and ultimately to bid, for the community.
So tell me about your lot this year.
We're pouring a 2014 Era, and it's a blend of 96% Cab and 4% Cab Franc from Toglon Thomas Vineyard, which is a new vineyard we purchased in the Rutherford Hill. And I really enjoy 14 because I think it's a very well-balanced vintage overall. It's a vintage where people have a lot of density, but also a lot of acidity to balance it out. Sometimes in 2013, people wanted to extract a little bit too much, and I think that's a really big difference. In 14, wines are a little bit better in balance if you did your job right, and I really enjoy that.
You said something interesting that caught my attention. You said it's a vineyard you purchased. Historically, though, you haven't really been owners of vineyards. Is that correct?
No, you're absolutely right. And at one point, we actually purchased two properties, one on Mount Veeder and one in Rutherford Hills. There's multiple things. First, it's for me a good tool because I can implement, the technology in our own vineyard and invest in it to make sure that I make the right decision and the rest of the valley, but also because you control some percentage of your own production. I think the real way to see it is it's really a way for us to be able to invest technology and time into our own grapes.
That makes a lot of sense. For our listeners who'd like to come visit Alpha Omega and learn about you online, how would they do that?
You can go to www.aowinery.com. We're open pretty much from 10 to 6 at any time.
Great. I really appreciate you taking the time. Darn good seeing you.
Great seeing you, and hope to see you very soon again.
I'm here with Tom Gamble of Gamble Family Vineyards, right?
That is correct.
You should know, I would imagine.
Most of the times I remember, but maybe sometimes after midnight, you know, gets shaky.
And a couple of glasses of wine, I think.
It's not usually wine that would do that.
Okay, we won't go any further on that. Tom, we're going to be doing a full-length interview with you tomorrow, which I'm really looking forward to. But as we stand here at auction, I love you standing here with a cowboy hat, the real spirit of Napa Valley in many ways.
Yes, at least old school, and plus I'm bald and I'm Irish, and the sun's not good for a farmer who's out there all the time. So I feel comfortable in a cowboy hat.
Well, and I think it's supposed to be about 100 degrees outside, so luckily you're inside.
Yes, that's true, and we have all our vines hydrated, so they shouldn't get too stressed out.
So tell me about what you're pouring today.
We're pouring we have a Cabernet single vineyard exclusive to the winery, and we're making one barrel available for this auction lot. Who can say no to such a great cause? And it's called Cairo because it's named after my dog. I can show you pictures tomorrow. And who's since passed away, but he was my companion for 15 years. And it's the 2 acres out in front of the winery in Oakville.
I think that's a cool dedication because dogs are such a big deal here in the valley.
Oh, they are. And of course, he was a rescue dog, so he was like Velcro.
Nice. Even better. Tom, you have a tasting room, correct?
We do.
And for our listeners who'd like to find out about visiting the tasting room and to learn about you online, how would they do that?
GambleFamilyVineyards.com is probably the best way.
And are you by appointment only?
Yes, we are.
Great, but anybody could contact you or give you a call, maybe?
Oh, yes, and you can email us at the go on the website. The phone numbers and the email addresses are all there. We're happy to pick up the phone.
Excellent. I look forward to chatting with you tomorrow.
I do, too.
Cheers.
All right, cheers.
We're here with our friend Judd Finkelstein. How you doing, Judd?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here. It's always a lovely day in Napa Valley.
You're not doing a lot this year, are you?
Am I doing a lot this year?
Yeah. Are you just busy in general? Sorry, that was a bad joke.
An auction lot? I'm always doing a lot. An auction lot? Well, we have an e-auction lot, so folks can bid online by searching Judd's Hill. And it's one of our famous bottle blending day camps, and folks can come and blend their own wine and take home, I believe it's a case, and we'll show them a good time, and all goes to the worthy causes that Auction Napa Valley benefits.
You guys have done a great job at auction. Do you remember how many auctions you've done?
That's a good one. I mean, personally, I haven't been to most of them because, you know, they started when I was just a little kid, of course. But the family somehow has been involved, I think, in just about all of them somehow.
Yeah, I would think so. Your dad, right?
Sure, since 1981, I think they've been involved back at the Whitehall Lane Winery days, and now with Judd's Hill. I'm sorry I don't have more specifics for you, but a long-time involvement. And then I was on the committee that got the word out to the community about what good comes of auction. Sort of like PR, but directed toward the community, because there was always this undercurrent of dissatisfaction among some people in our Napa community. Because, well, you know, it's a big deal, auction. A lot of people come from out of town. There's more traffic on the road. There's these parties that most people don't get invited to, including myself, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't get invited. These are for the visitors.
You don't rate.
No, unfortunately. But it's okay. And this is the message we're getting out there. Like, if you can hang on for a couple days, these people are coming to town. They're cluttering up the place. But you should be okay with it, because in their wake, there are millions of dollars every year that stay right here in our Napa community in the areas of healthcare, affordable housing, on and on and on, you know, and especially healthcare. You know, our hospitals and medical programs are funded through auction giving, educational programs. So folks can just hang on for a couple days, maybe head in the other direction instead of trying to come up Valley. Know that our community is being bettered by the events that happened during this weekend.
Sure, and in the end, right, it's benefiting people, plus this is a small community. This is not a gigundous city here.
That's absolutely true, and I think that just about every citizen of Napa County either has been a direct beneficiary, certainly an indirect, or certainly knows people who have benefited either through medical services or educational programs, on and on.
It's a great big thank you to all those people that come here and clog up the streets, but yet bid and bid very generously.
Keep coming, folks. Keep coming.
For our listeners to learn about you and Judd's Hill online, how would they do that, sir?
We got very creative. It's juddshill.com. No apostrophe in there, just JUDDSHILL.com.
Incredibly clever. I really appreciate that easiness for me to say it.
I knew you'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Judd, always good seeing you, sir. You take care of yourself.
And you too, and I appreciate your support of everything we do here in Napa Valley. Not just this event, but just, I know you like our wine too, and I appreciate that.
I have to say, truthfully, this is a real honor to meet you. We're here with Violet Gergich of Gergich Hills Winery. How are you doing, Violet?
I'm doing very well. Nice to meet you as well.
Well, and it was fun. When I first met your dad in 2009, of course, we were meeting, you know, Napa Valley history, and he was such a nice guy, and he was very entertaining, considering he's not a young guy, but he's very spry.
Well, at 93, he still is a chick magnet.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He was spending more time talking to my girlfriend than he was me, actually. I started to notice after a while.
Well, he is a charming European gentleman, and I think that's only one of the reasons for his charm, but he truly has a deep heart and has had an amazing life. In fact, he just came out with his memoirs, which I published for him. It's called A Glass Full of Miracles. So now a lot of stories that you haven't heard of are actually in the book.
So that's available now?
It's available now.
Is it online or is it?
It's actually at Gergich Hills, but also it's on Amazon. And also my publishing website called Violetta Press.
Oh, cool. So. All right, I'll check that out because I would love to get a copy of that because there's nothing better than reading wine books by people who are there.
Well, it's more than just a wine book. To me, the wine part is a very small portion of it. And a lot of people have told me it's kept them up at night. So it's a great sign.
Well, especially his early days, what he dealt with back in Croatia. I mean, he's told us some of those stories. And, wow, it's amazing what he got through.
It's truly amazing. And, you know, there's a lot of stories that didn't make it there, but it's 418 pages.
Wow.
So, like, let's work on round two in another year or two.
I think one of the things that Mike talked about a lot was you and your cousin taking over operations and really helping things along. But is he still hands-on to any degree at all at this point?
Well, it's amazing because he doesn't come as frequently as he used to because his back is not quite as in good shape as it used to be. But he is mentally there, and he's usually ahead of things. So he still likes to keep himself involved, and we're very thrilled about that.
And one of the big things he was talking about, of course, is being sustainable, you know, biodynamic farming, correct?
Correct, but we've actually moved away from being certified biodynamic into really just being certified organic and doing things in a natural, sustainable way without having to worry about somebody else telling us what to do. It comes from generations of experience in vineyards. So for us, we believe that's the direction that we're growing in.
He was one of the first people that ever said to me the idea of having the property and then passing it on to someone else and taking good care of that. That's such a big deal with you winemakers.
It's huge. And here in America, we just started in 1977. But in Croatia, I've been able to visit the family house ruins that have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that whole idea of having a legacy, not just of land, but of values, of knowledge, and to be able to pass that through the generations, that's been the most important thing for him. So when my 7-year-old told me that he was worried about supporting himself through college and getting his master's in chemistry, I thought, I think we've passed along the right family legacy.
I think those genes are in the right place.
They are.
Did Mike go along on that trip, or has he been back at all?
He's been back, but it's been a few years. Due to his back, he doesn't get into an airplane except to go to Southern California in the winter when it's cold here.
I've got to imagine, though, that it has to be an emotional experience for him.
Very much so. And he went back quite a few times. He founded a small winery there in 1996. And so that winery is still going.
Cool.
And, you know, it was something, you know, wines had not been of good quality until then because it had been under communist Yugoslavia and people weren't interested. But he was one of the people that really said, we can do it. We can be just as good as we were in the days of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and when we were Croatia. And so now it's inspired a whole new generation of winemakers.
Well, and there's also this 1976 thing where this Chardonnay that he had something to do with it made one of the finest Chardonnays ever made.
Actually, and you know what's interesting is that some people don't know that he was the one that made the Montelena 73 that won the Paris Tasting, otherwise known as the Judgment of Paris. But it was the highest scoring wine in the event. So that wine actually won the tasting.
Right.
There's actually a new movie in the works that's actually based on the book, The Judgment of Paris, and it's actually called The Judgment of Paris.
Ironically,
and it's being, the script is by Robert Kamen, who did The Karate Kid and The Taken trilogy, and currently they're starting filming. Anyway, that's in the works now. So that actually tells mostly the story of Warren Winiarski, but there's a little bit of my dad in there too, and what's fun is that he actually ends the movie. So he's already filmed the scene that he ends the movie on. So.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, it's nice, too, to get the record set straight.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for him, it was a real event. And to us, the real events were much more significant and interesting than the Hollywoodization of the film. And most people think it's actually true.
They believe whatever they see in movies. Yeah. But one of the things I have to say, I'm sure Mike felt proud of, is to see that bottle of Chateau Montelena being in the Smithsonian.
Absolutely. And not just that, but also his beret and the suitcase that he carried with him from Croatia made out of cardboard. So he physically was not able to go because of his back, but I was able to go. In fact, we were just there celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Paris Tasting and again got a chance to see his actual stuff in the Smithsonian. Not only that, but the Smithsonian did a book called 101 Objects That Changed America. And the bottle of 73 Montelena Chardonnay is in it. So that was amazing.
That's a very fair statement because it did indeed change America. Yeah, I agree. One more time, if you would go over the website for the book, because I'd love our listeners to be able to check that out.
Absolutely. It's Violetta Press, and that's spelled VIOLETTAPRESS.com. I kept trying to think of something clever, but in the end I went with my name, so.
Oh, I bet he liked that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And for our listeners to learn about Gergich Hills online, how would they do that?
So they can go to Gergich.com, and that's spelled G-R-G-I-C-H. No extra vowels.
Classic Croatian, no vowels whatsoever, practically. Yeah, there's one, yeah. This really, truly was an honor to meet you because your dad spoke so highly of you. In fact, again, a lot of the interviews dominated talking about the two of you, so congratulations to you, and I'm thrilled that there's a book out there.
Thank you so much. I'm totally honored to be talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The very fact that coincidentally at a wine event you happen to do some wine, as I recall, right?
Yes, I do. I have a little brand called Ziada Vineyards, and I make some Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, a little Bordeaux blend, and I'm adding some Chardonnay this year.
Really?
For the first time. And then I'm also making a cab with a 2015 vintage from Meteor Vineyards.
So we were talking about this little brand by the name of Ziada, and we're here with one of my favorite people, Karen Cakebread. How are you doing, Karen?
I'm great, Ray. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I'm here at auction. I'm hanging out with you, and I'm drinking your wine. I can't be any happier.
Well, it's really hot here. It's probably at least 100 degrees, but we're drinking Sauvignon Blanc and some rosé from my neighbor, so all is good.
Great, and cheers.
Cheers.
So we're talking about the wines you're making now, and you mentioned, now obviously, you have Sauvignon Blanc, but I'm going to let you go through the list.
I've been making a Pinot from Russian River for the last few years, since 2013. This year I'm adding Chardonnay from Carneros. And I'm a big girl now, and I'm making a Cabernet starting with the 2015 vintage. So I'm excited about that. And it's from Meteor Vineyard down in Coombsville, which is great because it's a really much cooler region, and I like that style of Cabernet, but it's in the warmer area of a cool region. So, yeah, I'm excited. The wines are in the barrel are tasting fabulous, so I'm really excited about that.
So your first vintage again will be?
For that is 2015.
Cool. No pun intended.
Cool. Wish it was cool.
Sorry, I let that sit for a minute there. So about how many cases total are you doing now? Of everything.
Probably 1,200 to 1,500 cases.
Okay, so you're getting, small. You're so still, small. Yeah, but you're getting bigger and bigger with time.
Slowly. I do everything slowly.
Slow is good, especially slow growth in this business, because if you dive into it too deeply, it could be a difficult thing.
Yeah, it's always about the cash flow. You know, in this business, it's a very cash-intensive business. You got to buy everything years before you get any money in return for it. But it's a love and a passion, and so it's not like work, and you just make it work.
It's fun.
Well, plus in the end, too, you're the one promoting it, so you're the one, whether it be out on the road or at events like this, you've got to put a lot of time into it outside whatever you might be doing in the cellar.
Well, I love getting out and meeting my customers. In Napa Valley, I do all my own deliveries, and I pull up either to the restaurants or to people's private homes, and I deliver the wine, and they're always a bit shocked that I'm actually delivering my wine. So I still do it, and I love it, and it's fun.
I think that's very charming, and I will dare say that's a little Italian.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's the good part of the good side of me is the Italian side, right?
We're going to stay totally away from whatever that other side might be.
Yeah, forget it. It's boring.
Do you have anything, any other plans for the future at this moment you want to talk about, or just kind of, again, keeping the slow growth?
We're going to build it slowly. Yeah, it's always going to be small, but, you know, I need to be sustainable, it needs to grow a little bit. So that's the plan. Over the next 3 or 4 years, we'll take it up. Maybe 4,000 cases maximum.
That's a nice number.
Yeah, if you know anybody that would like to send all their money to me so I could do that, would be great.
If I had money, I would send it to you, Karen.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the support.
Not at all. And for our listeners who'd like to learn a little bit more about you, a little more about Ziada and where they could get your wines online, how would they do that?
Yes, they would go to ziadawines.com, and that's Z as in zebra, IATAWINES.com.
Great. It's always lovely to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Stay cool.
You too. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm here with Ann Vauder of Red Mare Wine. She's the owner as well as the winemaker. How are you doing, Ann?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
We've talked to you a couple times in the past because you used to make wine for Karen Cake Bread, and you have your own label, which I think is for the Cabernet, which is what I'm most familiar with. You do an awesome job.
Thank you very much. It's really fun to do. I really enjoy it.
So what are you doing in terms of, about how many cases are you doing these days?
Red Mare's Cabernet is about 2,000 cases.
So you're kind of keeping it real polite.
Yeah, it's an economical level, but it's still quite small and still boutique.
And you're somewhat limited distribution, but it does pop up a few places.
Yeah, we have a couple good partnerships around the country. So you do see it in some stores around the country. Total Wine has it. And then my business partner, Jim Striegel, is a salesman on fire. And so you do see it in kind of surprising places.
Didn't you take some time off to sail around the world?
Can't you tell I'm sailing around the world right now? Yes, in fact, I'm a floating winemaker. Some winemakers are flying winemakers, but I'm a floating winemaker. So my husband and I do actually spend some time in Mexico on our sailboat. And I also have clients up in Canada, which we are actually currently up in Canada right now working on a project in the Okanagan Valley.
And, which is odd because it looks like you're here right now.
I know, it's so strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then we'll be going back to our boat in February, and then we'll probably be continuing on a little bit of a circumnavigation with our family.
So really, you kind of just live on the boat more often than not then?
Yeah, we do. And then I pop back here, and I have a great support network here that I work with, and so we kind of keep it all going.
Making wine and living on a boat, what a beautiful life. Good for you.
I'm not complaining.
Well, you're a talented winemaker. For our listeners who'd like to learn about your wine online, how would they do that?
They should go to redmarewines.com. Yeah.
And otherwise, distribution, we were talking about that a minute ago, restaurants or any retail at all?
A little bit of retail, yep, Total Wine and More. If you have one in your neighborhood, very likely they should have it. And if they don't, you can ask them. I'm sure they can get it in.
Excellent. And good seeing you again.
Thank you very much.
Wow, we're here with Christopher Tynan of Cliff Letty Vineyards. How you doing?
I'm doing really well.
I'm going to have to yell into his ear today. The cellar here is at unbelievable decibel measurements. I think like 110 dB at least.
It's going to get louder too because the auction outside is ending and everyone's going to run in here and start bidding until 4 o'clock, which is in an hour. So.
And then the temperature in here is going to go up by about 30 degrees.
I think so. I think you're right about that.
So Christopher, tell me about what you're pouring today.
We are pouring our 2014 barrel sample of our Poetry. This is our flagship wine made from the steep terraced hillside vineyards in our Stag's Leap District vineyard called Poetry. So this is the best thing that we do, we're glad to share it from barrel with all the lucky bidders.
Well, you know, I got a chance to taste a lot of your wines. I believe it was last year, or was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Wow, how time flies. We did a great interview with you.
And my mom loves the interview, so.
Does she really? Oh, that makes me very happy. Well, we'll make sure we get a little video this time, because that's what we're doing here at this very moment. Yes, you're on video. So anything new on the horizon is coming up at all for Cliff Lick?
We're bottling our 2014 vintage in July, so we're really happy about that. Just wonderful wines, another amazing vintage for Napa Valley. So we only make good wines and great wines in Napa Valley, so this is a very great vintage, and super happy about that.
Well, and you're an awesome winemaker, and by the way, as a quick aside, when I cracked that bottle of yours, the wine you made, I opened that for a couple of friends. They really loved it, so well done, my friend.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Not at all. That's the truth. And for our listeners who'd like to visit and learn about you online, where would they go?
You go to cliffladyvineyards.com, and you'll find all of our information about what we do and what makes us great, and all of the wonderful wines we make, from our Poetry to Tokalon to our Rock Block and Sauvignon Blanc as well. So that's the best place to find us.
And you guys are by appointment too as well, right?
We are open to the public, but if you want to do a little more formal tasting with a little sit down and food and a little more wine pairing, you can make an appointment with us and we can do something a little more special too. But you're welcome to walk in anytime and come up to the bar and taste our Sauvignon Blanc and our vast array of wines. So.
And you've got a really cool tasting room. Thanks, Christopher. Really appreciate the time.
My pleasure, Ray. Thank you so much. Always great to see you.
Seeing you as well. And by the way, come by and maybe he'll give you a guitar pick.
Absolutely. Take as many as you want. Throw them into the crowd at the end of the concert.
I'm here with Laura Barrett of Cliff Family Vineyards. How are you doing, Laura?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I'm told you're the brand new winemaker here.
That's correct. So I started at Cliff Family Winery in November of 2014. So I've been here for a year and a half. But this is the very first time that we're showing our 2015 Cabernet. So essentially, it's my first vintage forklift from grape to bottle.
That's got to be really super exciting.
It's awesome. I'm so proud to be here and proud to be finally standing behind something that I made. It's really exciting.
Is this your first gig as a winemaker?
No.
Where were you before?
Prior to this, I was a winemaker for a small brand called Casey Flat Ranch. I did that for about 8 years, and then before that, I was assistant winemaker at Fisher Vineyards, which is a small family Sonoma Napa County producer.
Well, family's a great winery. They've made some great wine in the past, so that's certainly something to live up to.
Yes, it is. It's a privilege to be here.
Well, and you know, for what it's worth, one thing I think that's really important, I've seen so many more women winemakers. Now, there's been women winemakers for a long, long time, but they're becoming more and more, and I think that's a pretty cool thing.
It is. I mean, when I first started in this business, I was leaving graduate school. I had just finished my master's degree at UC Davis, and I really wanted to work for a female winemaker, so I didn't really know anybody. I made a list of the top 10 women winemakers that I considered that I respected. And I sent them all a letter asking if I could work harvest for them. And I got the most amazing response. And one of them, Mia Klein, was the consulting winemaker at Fisher at the time. And that's how I landed there. So being a female in the industry has been a very fundamental part of my, my success and my interest in, but I think as time goes on, there are more and more of us. But we have such a nice community that I think we all feel each other's presence. But when you really look at the numbers, there aren't that many.
Well, I think overall winemakers are somewhat of a united front anyway, because what you do is so unique. There aren't that many of you. But I don't know, do you think there's any truth? The people said many times women have a little more in the way of better receptors in terms of their palate. Is that a fair thing to say? I mean, do you have an opinion on that?
I do have an opinion, and I don't necessarily think that we taste any more or less than the male palate, but I think that we're more emotional beings, so we connect better with what we taste.
For our listeners who'd like to learn a little bit more about you online, how would they do that?
They would go to cliffffamilywinery.com.
Excellent. This was a real pleasure meeting you. Thank you very much.
Stopping. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So we're with Brooks Pater, and Brooks is, of course, winemaker at Castillo di Amorosa. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today. It's a fabulous day here in Oakville at Robert Mondavi Winery. Everyone's having a wonderful time with the barrel auction.
It's an amazing winery, though. It's great for this event. But actually, the reason I wanted to talk to you is to talk about your auction lot today.
Okay, well, Castillo di Amorosa purchased a property down in Coombsville, which is in the eastern hills of Napa, just due east of the city of Napa. It's the newest appellation, sub-appellation in Napa. So the vineyard is called Butala, Butala Vineyard. It's about 12 acres, primarily Cabernet, a little bit of Merlot, all hillside, pretty steep hillside, well-drained volcanic soils. Really makes a very unique wine.
Do you know that, and I don't know if it's something you're aware of, but I've talked to, we've been with probably 30, maybe 40 people so far, and at least half have talked about fruit coming from Coombsville for this event.
Well, it's a wonderful complement to Up Valley grapes because it is quite unique. We also farm property down in the Mountain Viter area, and that's kind of another cool climate mountain area for Cabernet. It makes a great blender and a great standalone wine.
Brooks, for our listeners who'd like to find out about you, as well as seeing the castle if they want to, online, how would they find out about you?
Well, CastelloDiAmorosa.com. It's a long word. Castello di Amorosa. All you have to do is put Napa Valley Castle on your Google search engine, and you'll see an amazing photo of the castle itself. It's a wonderful place to visit, not only for adults who want to taste some great wines, but the young ones love to come and see the castle as well.
And to come to see the castle, you don't have to have a reservation. What about tastings?
We do have a self-guided tour. You can see a small part of the interior of the castle. What I recommend, what most people do, is call or email in advance because we can get busy, particularly on the weekend. And so the best option is to go ahead and make an appointment for your reservation. Or even if you want to just do self-guided and do some tours and do some tasting, it's always best to call ahead.
And it's a cool place to see.
Yes, it is. It's amazing that I go to work there every day.
I know. How many people you know go to a castle in California, right?
I can count them on less than one finger.
Yeah, I would say so. Brooks, good seeing you. Thanks very much.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
That was
nice
to see you both. I'm here with Kerry Auriger of Silver Trident Winery, and that's right over in Yountville. And we just had an interview the other day, didn't we?
We did, yep. And I'm here today actually with Cornerstone Cellars. We have we've been pouring out in the marketplace.
And this is cool because you do different projects, and I think that's great that the people you work with are good with that idea, because it's good for the business.
It actually is good. There's some synergy that happens with having a number of clients, and I make the wine in the same facility, so it actually works out really well, and my clients all know each other. They all like each other, which is nice.
Tell me about your lot.
Well, what I was pouring was the Rosé of Syrah. It's our 2015 vintage. So we actually get the fruit in the Oak Knoll district from the Crane Vineyard. We pick the fruit at night. It goes right into the press first thing in the morning. We press it off. So it spends about an hour on the skins. That's it. And we get this beautiful salmony pink rosé that is delightful.
It's a very fast wine.
It's a very fast wine. Yeah. It spends a little time. It's about 70% stainless steel small barrels, 30% neutral French oak.
And for our listeners who'd like to learn a little bit about Cornerstone online, how would they do that?
CornerstoneCellars.com. But we also have a beautiful tasting facility right in downtown Yountville.
And again, that would be probably the same kind of thing as Silver Trident, where you could walk in, is that right?
You could walk right in. It's great to make an appointment because we actually do a seated tasting with cheeses. But yes, you're welcome to walk right in and come on in and taste through all the wines.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, good seeing you once again.
Good to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You take care.
Thanks.
Nice.
To learn more, visit NapaVintners.com.